Uncommon sense advice on your work life, your personal life, and God knows what else. Welcome to How to Do Life with Dr. Marty Nemko.
Hi, I'm Marty Nemko. I'm a dog person, and for those of you who are or might like these stories anyway, here are some of my short stories about doggies from my book, Little Doggy Stories. This first one is called Church Dog.
I thought I'd finally get some peace in my last assignment, Our Lady of the Plains Church in New Yorkshire. The church is about tradition, an anchor amid the roiling tides, so you can imagine how I felt when the following happened. It was just before I was about to begin midnight mass on Christmas Eve, no less Christmas Eve, when for once we had a full house. Actually, I don't like that term, full house. It evokes poker, gambling. Just then, a woman who I had seen in the village with her dog, but never in church, marched in with the dog. You would think she'd feel more propriety. It was God knows what breed, probably no breed. It certainly had no Yorkshire Terrier in him, probably some random mix. Whoever was around too well, and forgive my language, Lord, hump. The last thing I wanted to do was to chastise a parishioner, let alone just before starting midnight mass, so I just cleared my throat while staring at her for a moment. But it didn't work. She just sat down with the dog on the aisle, no less. Then, just as I was about to start, as is the tradition, reciting the special proclamation of Jesus' birth, she stood up and she lectured me? Reverend Dunworthy, you know that Christianity is about accepting all. And many saints, not just Francis, not just accepted but venerated animals. Saint Philip was unwilling to eat bird and thus became the saint of veganism. Saint Cuthbert was the patron saint of, for God's sake, otters. And Saint Gertrude, a woman, I might add, is the patron saint of cats. And, Reverend Dunworthy, do you not know the name of this very church before the parishioners decided to change it to Our Lady of the Plains? St. Roach's Church. Do you know who St. Roach was? No, not a roach. St. Roach was the patron saint of dogs. This very church was named after the patron saint of dogs. The congregation twittered. A few even guffawed. I tried citing scripture. Philippians 3:2. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. But a congregant hissed, hissed! After the service, while I wanted to hide, I tried to maintain my churchy demeanor and stood at the door wearing my well-practiced beatific smile. Some of the congregants were polite, most escaped, and a few chastised me, of course, in an oh-so-Christian way. For example, Father, do you think that just perhaps the church might just change it just a wee bit with the times, even though we are in the Yorkshire Plains? As soon as Christianly possible, I escaped to the vestry and started to think about what to say next Sunday. I decided to say nothing. The problem would probably go away by itself. Was I wrong? The next Sunday, not only did the woman bring her dog, 10 other people brought their dogs. As bad, even though it was now just another Sunday, so the church was half empty, rather than parishioners taking seats in largely empty rows, nearly everyone chose to sit next to a dog. And during the service, instead of paying attention to my sermon, they were looking at a dog. Petting a dog, even whispering to a dog. What could I do? I stopped my sermon, walked down from the altar to the pews, brought a dog up and said, I guess the church must change with the times, even here. And I heard something I had never heard before in my church. The congregation cheered.
And anyway, that's Church Dog. The next story is,
I'll walk the dog, I promise.
We are too busy for a dog. My wife and I work full-time, and with a child there are endless add-ons, Little League, doctor appointments, after-school science program.
Apparently, the school is too busy teaching other things to bother with science. So when Emily, my daughter, asked and asked and asked for a dog, we had to say no. Until she wore us down.
Let's just look.
Ha. I was hoping the shelter would have only snarling curs, but my luck, there were two heartbreakers. One was Lucy, who pawed against the cage, begging to come out, and Emily pleaded, "How can you leave her in there? They'll kill her." I tried, "When we're ready, there'll be another dog." But Lucy continued to paw while Emily sobbed, "Oh, Walker, I promise." Whereupon the attendant, with perfect timing, asked if we'd like to take a test walk. And thus, we were the not all proud owners of Lucy. I insisted on crate training and bought the admittedly unwelcoming black jail, but the damn dog would not go in. Emily tried, my wife tried, I tried, but Lucy would not go in except one time when she raced in for a piece of steak I put in there, and before we could close the crate's door, she raced out. Lucy would, however, jump on any soft surface, especially Emily's bed. Guess where Lucy sleeps? Daddy loses again. Of course, there have been a couple of accidents, and to Emily's credit, she jumped to clean him up except for the diarrhea, which even the truck-mounted carpet-cleaning guy couldn't fully get out. Of course, Emily does bring upsides. The family likes taking her for walks, getting down on the floor to give her belly rubs, and her nuzzling among us as we watch TV. So I shouldn't have been surprised when after just 2 days, Emily peeped,
"Lucy needs a companion. Can we see if that other cute dog is still available?"
Anyway, that story is all.
I'll walk the dog, I promise.
The third story, I think I've got about six, is can an old dog learn a new trick?
Starting way back when I was a puppy, my owner, Bill, tried to teach me to fetch. I would go after the tennis ball, but it was in my genes to stay where the ball is and not bring it back. You see, over the millennia, hunters bred dogs for sense of smell, so the dogs could smell the poor animal that the hunter shot far away, go to the spot and wait so the hunter could easily find his damn trophy. I love Bill, and so I want to please him. I knew he wanted me to bring the ball back when he kept saying, bring it back, buddy. But it's hard, very hard, to triumph over your genes. But then there was today. We were at the field, and as usual, Bill tossed the ball closer than in years past, because I can't run as far. Actually, I can't run at all. Waddle is more like it. He said as usual, bring it back, buddy. Not because he thought I would. It was just a habit, somehow comforting, I think, to both of us. But this time, something happened. I am old now, and maybe it's that I've become too tired to follow my genetic predisposition. Or maybe it's that over the years, my love for Bill has gotten so deep that it trumps the genes. So when I got to the ball, as usual, I started to lie down with it. But when Bill said, bring it back, boy, I forced myself to put it in my mouth and took a step toward him. Bill exclaimed, good buddy, good buddy. That made me take another step, a faster one. Again, he claimed, good buddy, the best buddy. And I actually started to trot and made it all the way to him, where I dropped the ball at his feet. And because I was tired, I also dropped at his feet. He cried. I cried. I love Bill, and he loves me forever. Who says you can't teach an old dog a new trick? Anyway, that's can an old dog learn a new trick? The next story is called A Dog Named Yes and A Dog Named No.
Hi, my name is Yes, and I used to be a cute dog, but now, having roamed the streets of Oakland for weeks, I'm matted and infected all over with foxtails. I am a mess. I don't blame my owners for having dumped me. I couldn't stop chewing their slippers, their sofa leg, even their electric toothbrush. So this is my lot in life. Or so I thought. Then I met a dog I call No. I do that for a good reason. I'm a positive doggy and don't like to be critical. Every other dog I met was nice, but No, everything was black. I mean, we even saw this great bone. It must have been a barbecue rib. I toddled to pick it up, and No said,
It could be rancid, even poisoned. Don't.
I figured the chances were great that the bone was just fine, and the person just wasn't civic-minded and so tossed it on the street. I started chewing as No cringed. His loss. The bone was wonderful. Then a truck pulled up. I had seen lots of trucks before, beer trucks, sausage trucks, but this one had a sign I didn't understand. Animal control. A man and a woman got out of the truck, came up to me, and I was sure they wanted to pet me. But No screamed, "Run away! They're going to trap you, take you to the pound and kill you!" I didn't believe it, but this time No was right. The woman slipped this metal thing around my neck, pulled it tight, and threw me into the back of the truck. No started to run away, but the man got him, too. I was scared, and No was terrified. And we got even more scared when we got to this gray building. It did not look friendly. When we got inside, there were lots of dogs in cages, barking, whining, yelping. Was No right? Will we all get killed? The attendant threw us both into the same cage. We saw three other dogs in the next cage, and that made me feel good. At least we weren't the only doggies there. The next day, we saw that one of the dogs was gone. No said, "See?" But the day after, another dog was gone. But the one with a nice terrier was still there. Later that day, the attendant walked by with a man. He looked at us, and I put my paws on the front of the cage, and I wagged my tail, and he said, "May I look at her?" But No growled, and the man said, "Never mind. May I look at that terrier?" The terrier wagged her tail and looked up at the man, and the man asked, "May I take her for a test walk?" The woman nodded, put the terrier on a leash, and they were off. I didn't see them again, so I'm guessing she got adopted. No said, "I'm sorry I growled." I showed him that I forgave him by licking his face. 2 days later, even I was getting very scared that we might get killed. But a nice couple walked by. Again, I put my paws in the front of the cage and wagged my tail as wildly as I could, and this time, No stayed quiet. The woman pointed to me and said, "That dog seems nice." And the woman opened the door. I was happy, so happy, and nuzzled against her leg and then his leg. He cried. He looked at his wife, who nodded, and she said, "Sweet doggy, you now have your forever home." I was so happy. But what about No? Part of me wanted to stay with No. He needs a yes. But I couldn't resist having a new home, maybe a forever home. So I toddled over to No, lifted my paw onto his face, kissed him, and said goodbye. In any event, that story is called A Dog Named Yes and A Dog Named No. The next story is called No Soap. A few months ago, my husband and I had escaped from the big city to a cottage 15 miles northeast of Grants Pass, Oregon. I say I because Jerry, my dear husband of 51 years, died suddenly 2 months ago. Now it's just me, or I should say me, my little dog Lola, and my soap operas, especially Days of Our Lives, which I've been watching since I'm 15. Lola sits on my lap, and we laugh and we cry. My best friends are the Days of Our Lives characters, especially dear Maggie and her late husband Mickey. Maggie had been on the show since 1973, and Mickey died in 2010. I'm still grieving, and yeah, still watching the reruns. I stream. I talk to the TV, urging the characters, consoling the characters, and okay, I talk to my doggie. For example, "Lola, I hate to admit it, but I like you better than most people. I can always count on your kindness and your cuddles, and all I need to do is give you kibble. Out here in the wilderness, I don't need to walk you. You just go out the doggie door. And I know you love me, and so you won't run away. You'll always come back, just like my dear Jerry." It was an unusually windy rainstorm, so I was especially grateful to be in my usual soft chair with Lola on my lap. We were watching Days of Our Lives' 50th anniversary show for the third time. Maggie had become crippled, and Mickey gave her red shoes, hoping that someday they would dance again. And then the power went out. With the howling wind and sheets of rain, Lola and I needed to stay inside and hope the power would come back quickly. But out in the boonies, I knew that was unlikely. After a day cooped up and with no TV, you can imagine how I felt when someone knocked on my door. Who could have come out in this weather? When I opened the door, it was my neighbor's 12-year-old son. "Come in, please." I would have thought he'd race in, but shoulders hunched, he just shuffled in without a word. "I've rarely seen you. Why would you come out in this mess?" "My parents made me. They said you were old and I should check on you." "I am old, but I'm okay, except that it's no fun having no electricity. Can I get you some cookies?" He nodded. Do you want to tell me a little bit about you?
I don't know. I'm 12. My name is Harris.
I thought, but didn't say Harris. That's the name of an evil character on Days of Our Lives, a kidnapper and attempted murderer. But I just said Harris. That's a nice name.
Just then, the lights came back on. Lola danced around. She was happier than I was, and Harris said, "Well, I guess I should go now.
Want to watch a little TV with me?"
We don't have TV, so okay.
Would you mind if we watch Days of Our Lives? I stream it so I can watch whatever episode whenever I want.
He shrugged.
I know all the episodes, so I chose one in which a preteen boy is the main character. Because Harris is distant, I picked the episode in which Theo is diagnosed with autism. Harris stared, and then he got teary. I asked if he wanted to talk about it. He shook his head and said, "I should go now." I said, "You can come back if you'll watch another episode." For the first time, he smiled and left, walking just a bit straighter. I lifted Lola onto my lap, and after I finish telling you this, we're going to watch another episode. In any event, that story is called No Soap, and the next story is Kisser. The doorbell rang at 3 a.m. I opened the door to find a wicker basket. In it, wrapped in a blanket, was a puppy. I work full-time. Who has time for a dog? Even if I got a dog sitter, that's expensive, and then there are the nights and weekends, and the training. Who has time? Who wants pee and poop in the house? So cute as the puppy was, I steeled myself, carried him into the car, and drove to the pound. She would not get off my lap. Indeed, the more I drove, the more she curled up, and then she fell asleep. But I was not going to have a dog. I pulled into the pound's parking lot and saw the entrance. It reminded me of Auschwitz. I pursed my lips and lifted the puppy with one hand and started to open the car door with the other, and then, damn it, she licked my face. I just couldn't do it. I named her based on what just happened. My forever companion would be named Kisser. But if it was one thing I wouldn't let Kisser do is disrupt my sleep. So even before I got home, I went to the pet store, got a crate and a cushion to put inside it. Add the food, the collar, the leash, and the tax, and I was out $247, and that was before the vet visit. Perfectly healthy, but needing spaying and shots, another $300. I read on the internet to housebreak immediately and to counter to taking a week, so damn it, I took a week off from work. And every time Kissa got up from her nap, I carried her outside to the pee place and waited, and waited. Finally, success, followed instantly by a treat and massive praise. But despite my diligence, Kisser had a few accidents, including one vomit. But yes, after a week, she was trained. But Kisser would not sleep in her crate. The first night I put her in, and within seconds she was whimpering. The sweetest damn whimper you ever heard. I needed to sleep, so I moved the crate from the kitchen to my bedroom. She still whimpered and whimpered. At some godforsaken hour, I got up, put a towel on the far corner of the bed. I was not going to have pee or poop on my blanket, and lowered her onto the towel. Immediately she stopped whimpering, curled up, and went to sleep. She was doing a great job of training me. The only thing, by the time I got up in the morning, Kisser was no longer at the foot of the bed. She was curled up around my warmest spot, my crotch. And when I started to get up, she jumped on me, licked my face, and we went out, and she did her business like a pro. After a week, I was grateful I had Kisser. I could see why they call a dog man's best friend. So you can imagine how I felt when, after 8 days, the doorbell rang. It was a neighbor. She said, "I had just gotten a puppy when in the middle of the night I got a call from a hospital 200 miles away. My dad had a heart attack. I was frantic, so frantic I forgot to leave you a note and forgot all about the dog. My dad died. We had the funeral, and when I came back and saw the crate on the curb, I remembered. I am so sorry, so sorry. Thank you so much for taking care of my puppy. Can I have her back now?" In any event, that's Kisser. And the final story is A Dog's Search for His Father. I lived with my mother until she died at age 13. That's 90 in human years. Now I'm alone, 11, and a male. So I probably won't live that long. I never knew my father and hadn't really cared to. As far as I knew, he was just some German Shepherd mix that my mom hung out with in the Vale. But now, aware of my mortality and okay, feeling lonely, I decided to try to find my father. I figured I'd start with the only obvious place where I was born, the Vale. There I met an owl. I described what my dad probably looks like, my mom had told me. And the owl said,
I think I know who you're talking about. There's a crotchety ancient dog who lives in the cave over there. I peered inside and was met with a weak growl. The dog looked like I had imagined he would, but older. He crept out, teeth bared. He wheezed.
What do you want?
I asked, did you hang out with a shepherd mix many years ago?
I did. We felt good roaming together, and we slept in this cave.
I can't be sure, but I think I'm your son. Quieter, tireder, now that he wasn't on alert, he whispered.
I think I can see you in myself or myself in you.
And he lay down. I toddled over, rested my feet on his belly, and he sighed. Anyway, that's a dog search for his father. And those are, I think, seven little doggy stories from my book, Little Doggy Stories. As usual, I welcome your thumbs up and accept your thumbs down. I always look forward to your comments, and especially like it if you hit the share button below. Share on your social media so my efforts can have broader impact. And I am flattered if you choose to subscribe to my channel, and certainly would welcome you taking a look at any of my 35 books. The most relevant to this is Little Doggy Stories, but all 35 are on Amazon. In any event, I thank you for watching. Oh, since this is going to be a podcast, I'd like to end with my very favorite quote that I believe is more relevant today than ever. It's from a guy named Frank A. Clark, and he says, "We find comfort among those who agree with us, growth among those who don't."
You've been listening to How to Do Life with Dr. Marty Nemko. For comments on the show or to consult with Dr. Marty Nemko, his email address is mnemko@comcast.net. Post-production of How to Do Life by Terry Rouse. Music by Blue Dot Session. Thanks for listening.